Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Amen. All right, gang, so I was kind of wrestling with that. But if we look now at Mark 11, because Jesus confronted the culture of the church. Okay, once again, let me just say it. I feel like I'm over-apologizing. I'm not promoting recklessness. I'm saying we need to remember who we are in Christ and not forget who we are in Christ, no matter what happens around us. Mark chapter 11, we see this instance of Jesus confronting the culture of his followers. It says, and they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. And he was teaching them and saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. This is a pretty intense encounter. I think at times we can probably relate to this. How many of you would say that your life is busy? Yeah? How about busy? Any of us busy bees around? Yeah. I kind of sometimes fall into that category where I feel like, goodness gracious, it's just busy, especially, you know, around Christmas time, especially around times, you know, we've just got a lot going on in our culture, and we're uber connected. Although I can't say that now because it means we're waiting for cars outside. We're over connected. We are overly connected. We are just flooded with information and flooded with things. And gang, in all of our busyness, what I'm finding is we're not praying a whole lot. We're doing a whole lot of stuff. And what's interesting is there's a lot of people who are very busy doing church stuff, but not very busy praying. And that's a problem. Things we ought to be doing in 2022. There's something you should do in 2022. You know what it is? Pray. We need to be talking to the Father, and we need to be listening. Everybody say listening. Because prayer is not a one-way street as many of us have adopted it. We think that prayer is us telling God information as if he doesn't know. Hello? Prayer is not saying, in case you didn't realize, God, I need a new set of whatever. Okay. So gang, we need to be praying. I want to ask a question to everybody here today. Is prayer important? Okay. Should it be going on? Should it be going on a lot? Do you need a kind of a revolution in your prayer life? Or a revival, maybe, is a better way, in your prayer life. And I know a lot of people say this, well, I know I need to pray, but if I was really honest, I kind of don't do it very well. I don't quite get it because it feels boring. Look, if we want to be honest, that's a lot of us are like that. I think we can relate with the inner circle of Jesus' disciples where Jesus said, hey, we're going to go up and I'm going to pray and I want you to come with me and you guys are going to sit here and we're going to pray. And then he goes a little bit farther. And he's praying, man, he is praying, and he comes back, and they're all snoozing. Yeah. Look, I'm gonna confess, sometimes prayer is hard. You've heard me say, it feels like sometimes you're in a room, and your words are hitting the ceiling, and bouncing right back down to you. I get it, I understand, but I think we need to lean in. The reason that prayer is such a struggle is my belief, because we don't really understand it, number one, and the enemy doesn't want us to understand it, number two. Because the enemy understands prayer is kind of like that plug. You plug it in, some things are going to happen. You unplug, if the enemy can stop us from plugging in, we remain kind of ineffective. Think about that imagery in your mind. Prayer is plugging in. So the enemy doesn't want us to do it. Prayer can be a struggle, but Ephesians chapter 8, 6:18 says this, that we should be praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. There's a lot of alls in that verse, right? We're to pray at all times with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keeping alert with all perseverance and making supplication for all the saints. We're kind of different. We kind of pray at sometimes in our flesh, and we're not alert, and we give up easily, and we only pray for ourselves or for our circle. All right, gang. So that's what we're going to kind of challenge here today. Okay. So that we're not like Peter, John, and James, that we kind of have a revolution or a revival in our understanding of what prayer is. Because we have to understand that prayer is unique, okay? First kind of thought here today is prayer is as unique as each one of us is unique. Everyone here, look around the room, at home, look at the person in the room with you. Are they unique? Some people are much more unique than others. You got some real unique people in the room today. I'm being polite when I say unique, okay? How about strange? All right. So if each one of us is different, then each one of our relationship with God is going to be different. That's why it's hard sometimes when, somebody says, this book just did so much for me, and they expect it, you know, to do something for you. And you're like, well, this doesn't do anything for me. You've been to prayer conferences or read prayer, different types of thoughts and ideas, and it just doesn't click. Look, each one of us is unique. And prayer is a tough topic. But I want you to know that God wants to talk with you. Psalm 95, verse 7 and 8, kind of lets us know something about the character and the nature of God. It says, "For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand." Now, this next part here, let's look at this. "Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts." Why is that there? Because a lot of times, if we're honest, we harden our hearts. Have you ever felt like God had prompted you to do something, or God was urging you or maybe calling you in, and you said, and you just thought it away? We're so used to hardening our hearts towards spiritual things and try to rationalize them with carnal things. You know, that feeling in the, you know what, I should really just get up early in the morning. Or, you know, it happens to a lot of us. God sometimes knocks on the door of your heart in the middle of the night. And it's real easy to just roll over and go back to sleep. I challenge you, if He's knocking at the door of your heart, don't harden your heart. Respond. Because it's a beautiful thing, because He is the Good Shepherd, as we're going to find out here in a minute. In the Old Testament, think about this. In the Old Testament, God wanted to dwell with His people. And so He would teach them to build a tent, in this tent of meeting where His presence would dwell. And then later they had a tabernacle. And then later they had a temple. And then there was a veil, because God was perfect and holy and pure. And imperfection and unholiness couldn't survive in His presence. So there were specific ways where blood had to be sacrificed and applied to deal with the sin problem so that we could be in His presence. Yet God was summoning and calling us for a relationship with Him. But because of our weakness and imperfections and impurities, we couldn't be in the presence of a holy, perfect God. And that was all in God's plan, because ultimately He was going to send Himself, humbled in a form of a man born of a virgin, to literally fulfill the law for us, to pay the price for our sin eternally, so that now, just like in the Old Testament there was a calling in, now we can have a relationship with Him. I tell you what, it's a beautiful thing. Now we are His temple. I got to tell you, and it's unique for each one of us. My relationship with my son, Eli, is different than my relationship with my daughter, Lainey. And my relationship with my daughter, Lainey, is very different than my relationship with my daughter, Ellie. And all of my other kids that I've adopted in through the world is very different. Look, we have unique ways to connect. We have unique humor. We have unique experiences with one another. And such is our relationship with God. Every one of us is unique, and God wants to connect with us. John 10, 3 through 4 lets us know about the sheep. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I tell you what, this is a beautiful thing for us to understand God. Not only is he our shepherd, but if you think about how God, the disciples asked Jesus about prayer, and said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. And what did Jesus say? The first two words, I mean, he tells them, hey, go into your closet, okay? And God who's in secret is going to hear, you know, don't put on a big show. He kind of says, hey, it's not about everyone else. It's about you and God. And then he says something revolutionary, something radical. It messed everyone at the time up. He says, here's how you pray. Start by saying, Abba, our Father. Joachim Eremus was one of the most highly regarded New Testament scholars of his time. And he really leaned in heavily to Jesus teaching on prayer by saying, our Father, Abba. He said, you don't understand. This totally, totally was revolutionary. The thought that we can talk to God as a father. And it's even an Abba is not just saying like a formalized father. It's like a sense of endearment, like saying daddy, pop. And whatever your sense of endearment, whatever your term that you relate to your father. And again, it's hard for us because some of us, you know, have imperfect relationships with our earthly fathers. And I get it that there's some troubling things there. But this picturesque concept of a loving father and his child saying, daddy, that's our relationship and our calling to connect with God in prayer. The good shepherd wants to talk with his sheep. John 10, 27 says that my sheep hear my voice and I, what's the next word there? Oh, come on, say that. And I know them and they follow me. I'm going to say something. God knows you. God knows me. God knows me better than I know him. And God, this is a hard thing for me. God actually knows me better than I know myself. I can be a jerk. Why didn't you argue? Y'all hurt my feelings, okay? But God knows the real me. I mean, looking at the concept of Revelation where he holds this white stone, with a name that only he knows. God knows who you really are. God knows your purpose. He has formed. He knows your true identity and he holds it in the palm of his hands. And there's a lot of voices that try to identify us. And yet he, as the good shepherd, as Abba Father, as the one who loves us, he knows us and he wants us to know him so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would put their full trust in him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. And John tells us that we can have life and have it more abundantly. The good shepherd wants to talk with you, and I know it's hard. So a couple things about approaching God in prayer, because he is the good shepherd, and Jesus revolutionized prayer with this concept of our Father, of Abba. And so think about this. In John 10:9, Jesus identifies himself. He says, I am the door. What a great name. I'm a door. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pastures. So if we're going to approach God the Father, and I know this is hard because you think God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're all three parts of God. It's the whole Trinity concept. I know it can be hard. We don't just go to God. You go to God through Jesus. Understand that. It's part of, here's why we have to understand this. This is so important because it lets us know how much God values you connecting with Him, that He sent Jesus. That's why when we pray, and again, I try not to make this legalistic, but have you ever thought, why do we conclude our prayers by this? We ask, in Jesus' name. We say, in Jesus' name, because that's how we come, that's how much worth God has for us. That's how much value He places upon the relationship that we have to Him. That we approach Him through the blood of Jesus Christ. We ask and request in the name of Jesus. Matthew 6, 7 through 9, as we mentioned. When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they'll be heard by their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him, as we mentioned just a moment ago. Pray then like this. Abba, Daddy, Father in heaven. Prayer is relationship. Prayer is relationship. And so it's important, guys, that we don't become flippant with our approach to God. And I got to think about that. As I'm coming to Christ, am I just walking into this house with dirty shoes? Am I mindful of the value that I have? What I'm trying to get you to understand here is that prayer is really, really important. It's really, really valuable. It's a great gift. It's deeply personal. And we have this wonderful calling to Him. Because think about this, this perfect, pure God. I mean, if we look at the Old Testament types and shadows and what we have now, God is holy. He is pure. He is righteous. He is just. And He is omnipotent. And we can talk with a perfect, pure, holy, righteous, just, and omnipotent God. Don't you want to talk with Him? Well, now I feel a little uncomfortable about that. Because I got to tell you, I'm none of those things. Once again, none of you argued. Okay. I am none of those things, and yet I can have an audience. I can have a relationship with God. So God is worthy of praise. We should give Him thanks, and we need to understand that it is an honor and privilege to carry everything to God. And so I want to just come on in our time here today. There's been lots of different teachings and lots of different things and tools that we've used to try to understand prayer. But I want to give you a real simple one today. Very quick and very, very simple. That's going to help you. Because if you are like most Christians, your prayers are just a big grocery list. That's all your prayers are. God, do this. God, do this. God, do this. God, do this. Oh, yeah, by the way, thanks for our food. Thanks for this meal. But we're not really mindful about our talking with God in relationship. So we're just going to use the word pray, P-R-A-Y. We're going to use that word to try to understand prayer. Because each of these should be an element in our prayer, in our talking with God. The first one is praise. Everybody say praise. Psalm 100 verse 4. Let's all read this together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. I tell you what, gang, it's a pretty wonderful thing. If we think about Jesus' instruction on prayer, He says, Abba, okay, our Father, hallowed be Thy name. Okay, holy, worthy, sacred is Your name. So as we begin, think of the Old Testament. They would come into the temple. They would come into the tabernacle. And the very first thing, you'd have this altar. You'd have a laver of water. You entered by giving a sacrifice of praise. So enter your time of prayer. Begin your time of prayer. Begin your time of prayer. I dropped an R there. Begin your time of prayer with thanksgiving to God. Thank God. It's a lot easier. Just tell God what you need. But you know what? If you'd remember how good He is. Because I tell you what, I fall victim to this a lot of times. I begin to think, wow, life is just, do I have any reason to be thankful? If you think about how good God is to you, tell Him. Give Him a time. Begin your time with giving praise. When we recall and remember how good He is, it gets our mind in the right framework. When you even just think about that He's offered Jesus the very way that we can call Him Father, thank God that He wants to have a relationship with you. For some of us, that should mean a whole lot. You know, those of us who never got picked to be on the, you know, the dodgeball team and we kind of sat on the side, I want you to know this. God looked and said, I choose you. And here, I'm going to give up my first round pick. Jesus, take one for the team. Because I want this one. That's how much God loves you. Thank God that He wants to have a relationship with you. Praise Him. The second thing that I think our prayer really needs to have, and we need to understand, Jesus talked about it when they asked Jesus to teach us how to pray. He said, look, forgive us our sins. The R in prayer is repent. And we forget about that. Again, and as I talk to a lot of people who need a radical revival in their prayer, it's because we're oftentimes not honest with God. As I begin to pray, I start with the praise part and I talk about how awesome God is. I tell Him, thank you for being all this. And then I become keenly aware of something. How great God is and how unlike Him I am. Anybody else? I'm kind of like the prophet who says, has this encounter with God. And I say, woe am I. I am undone. I'm an unclean person. I dwell in a land of unclean people. God, I'm sorry. You want to have a relationship? I stink. God, forgive me. Proverbs 28, 13 through 14. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. But he who confesses and forsakes them will do what, gang? Oh, come on. You got to say it like you're happy about it. Obtains mercy. Blessed is the one who fears the Lord always. But whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. 1 John 2:1. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, notice that this is conditional. If, as we're going to God, through Jesus, remember this, we're imperfect. How many of you ever had one of those folks, or maybe you're like that, you know, really, really mindful things. Before you come in here, take off your shoes. Why? I don't want you to be tracking mud. This is a clean house here. Right? I have these horse dogs, and they like, yeah. Sometimes it's fun to watch them walk us, And now that it's nice and muddy outside, horse dogs think that they can just come in and just, hey, welcome home. I've missed you for the last 30 seconds. And they're just, you know, covered with stuff. You're like, ah. So I have to drag them into the garage. And we got this cool little thing. It's like a little jar with these little fingers, and you put water and you get their hands all dirty in order to get them clean. And I mean, one paw, one dog, you pull it out and it's just like mud. It's like pure espresso, and you pour it out and just keep doing it and you clean them out before you come in. Okay, gang, look, as we come to Christ, so many of us are so obtuse to how we are. We don't expect God to change us. Newsflash. Jesus came to change us. He came not for behavior modification, but to give us a new life, to give us a new purpose, to give us a new hope, to give us new understanding, to give us a new identity. And some of us, we're just so used to how we are that we just don't even think about it. Prayer is plugging in. One of those things that happens, we become mindful that we want to be more like Christ. Repent. If we confess our sins, 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Chapter 2. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Gang, just like priests would wash before they came into the presence of God, we need to praise God, understand who He is, be mindful, let Him know that we begin to understand, expand our concept of God and His grace and His mercy and His love, and then become keenly aware of who and what we are and talk to Him about it. Don't hide who you are. He understands it. He knows it. He just wants to talk with you about it. Then we come to the thing, which this is a lot of us just want to get to this part about prayer. Ask. I move this down because too many operate simply in the fashion of asking only in prayer. And now asking is important. Asking is a wonderful thing. In fact, John 15:4-8 says, abide in me. And John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Now, everyone loves that verse now, don't you? I can ask whatever I want. Woo! Lord, I need a set of numbers. I'll tithe. I'll buy the church a new building. But I just need, give me a set of numbers. I'll be generous with it, Lord. I can ask whatever your word says. You know, let's put this in context a little bit. Back up a little bit, because in verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is the one that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches that are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. Gang, we understand that the context of this in verse 7, the context is understanding of us being in Christ, which means that we've been delivered from selfishness and that we're all about bearing fruit. Everybody say, I'm called to bear fruit. How many of you in your shopping list, in your prayer, have said, God, make me bear more fruit? I'm asking you to bear more fruit. No. God, I want a new car. I want you to take care of this. My kids are acting crazy. I need you to help them. Lord, and fix all my problems. Instead of, Lord, help me be more like you. I'm not saying that we don't talk to Him about our problems, because of course we do, because He's a loving Father and He wants us to. But talk about it in a two-way conversation, gang. It's okay to ask for healing and for guidance and that He would be Jehovah Jireh, that He would supply all of our needs. It's okay also to pray that we bear more spiritual fruit. Jesus' example of the prayer at Gethsemane was tough. He said, Lord, I'm asking that this cup be taken away. Lord, if this could pass away, but He said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That is prayer. God, I'm asking you to do this. Most importantly, I'm accepting your will. 1 Timothy 2:1-4. First of all, I urge that supplications, prayer, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, so that we're supposed to be praying for everyone else as well. For kings and all who are in positions, that we may lead peaceful and quiet lives, godly and dignified in every way. That is good and it's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we're supposed to pray for our leaders. We're supposed to pray. My, they need prayer. Amen. Woo-wee. They need prayer. We're supposed to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're supposed to pray for other people. And we're supposed to pray for people to come to the knowledge of Jesus. Imagine instead of praying, God, fix my annoying neighbors. We say, Lord, I pray that my neighbors whom you love would understand that you love them. And help me to love them like you love them. Here's what I've understood about prayer, and I'll give you this free. Prayer reveals to us what we really think about God. You want to know what your theology is? Listen to your prayers. That should scare some of us. Listen to your prayers. And it tells you, but you say, well, I don't really have any prayers to listen to. It's the answer to the question. Again, I don't say that to condemn. I say that to motivate and understand. God loves you so very much that he wants to have a relationship with you. Prayer also reveals our understanding of the church, and prayer reveals our level of maturity. Charlotte, you can go ahead and come on up. And finally, so P-R-A-Y. So we've talked about praise, we've talked about repent, we've talked about asking. Now, this is a big one, and we forget that this is even part of prayer. Why? Why? The why in prayer. Anybody want to take a stab at it? What? You? Close, close. Go ahead and put it up. Yield. Yield. I surrender all. The reason that we pray is not to convince God what our will is, but that we could accept his will. You see, God formed us in a very interesting way. You know, most of us have two ears and one mouth, right? Is that a 2-to-1 ratio? That's a pretty good ratio. In fact, life would go better if I understood that, if I talked less and listened more, and such in prayer. Have you ever thought about this? Here's a radical transition to your prayer. Prayer is also about listening. That means sometimes in prayer, prayerfully read the Bible because God's talking to you. Meditate on scriptures. Think about, consider. Ecclesiastes 5:1-3, as we're getting ready to wrap up our message. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Draw near. Think about this. Okay, so when you're going near to the house of God, you want to connect with God. That's what prayer is all about. Draw near to do what? To listen. No. I got a lot of things I need to tell him. He already knows. He wants to talk with you about it. And maybe change our perspective and our position. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools. For they did, and I love this. For they did not know that what they're doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you're not. In other words, God's God, you're not. Okay? Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes with much busyness, a fool's voice with many words. Gang, yielding in prayer is that we adopt God's ways, which are not ours. Isaiah 55 lets us know that we can pray to find God's ways as high as heaven is above the earth. That's how high his ways are above mine. When we're praying, Lord, get that person who made me mad. The yielding part of prayer is when we listen and realize that we're supposed to forgive them. That we're supposed to follow and be more like Jesus. We should not pray to make our will God's will, but to make God's will ours. So when you yield, when you enter a time of prayer, be willing to listen and be attentive to the Holy Spirit's leading. Prayer is one of the ways where we wrestle to become more like Christ. Amen? I just want you to think about that, church family, because I'm praying that we have a revival in prayer. Praise God. Be mindful of yourself. Repent. Ask and yield. Let's stand to our feet and let's pray with me. We're going to do all four of these. Father in heaven, thank you so very much that you love us so very much. God, we just want to take a second and say that we just love you, and you are holy and you're pure and you're right in all your ways. Father, we just, we're mindful of ourselves. We're mindful of the dirty shoes that we bring into your presence so very often. And God, please forgive us of our shortcomings, of our failures, of the times that we've been selfish, we've been carnal. We've just flat out been rebellious and sinful at times. And God, we don't want to just accept it. We want to be cleansed from it. So Lord, help us to hate sin for the reasons that you hate it, because it puts a wedge between us and you. Forgive us by the blood of Jesus. We ask for a cleansing and a renewal. And God, we pray and we ask you that you would make us more like you. Help our lives to bear fruit. Help us to be an image of Christ to those who need it. Help us to take the message of your truth and share it to those who need it. Father, we yield. We ask and we give you our will. We give you our heart. We give you our mind. We give you our priorities. We want to walk in your ways. And so, Lord, take us. We are thine. You are the potter. We are the clay. Use us for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. All God's children said, amen. Join us in singing our first verse of "What a Friend We Have in Jesus" as we conclude our service here today.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.